there's no need to fear. Underdog is here.
It's Silly Underdog Picks time on this Thursday afternoon. Hope everybody's having a good day to this point. Darren McFarland, Chase McCabe, the Commissioner Willie Donick, and forever Titans wide receiver Chris Sanders is on the line with us. Chris, how you doing?
Hey, I'm doing swell.
Oh, seems like you got a little pep in your step today.
I'm doing great, man. How's y'all's weekend?
Asking how we're doing.
Yeah.
You still hate us,
hey,
or are we back
for all the calls again? I do appreciate it. Thanks.
Everybody's good now?
Yeah, I'm good. I'm excited, ready to go ahead and take this thing by storm and get my victory.
Okay. Former quarterback, MTSU, longtime quarterback in the NFL. Kelly Holcomb is on the line. Kelly, how you doing?
I'm good. How you guys doing?
Well, I'm sure you're that's the theme with you, too. You're always doing good because, as we're going to find out with the review, why would you be in a bad mood? Yeah, things are good.
Correct. I mean, the sun's out. It's nice. It's about 75 degrees.
Mm-hmm.
What could be, just happy. So let's be happy.
Mm-hmm. Well, with that being said, let's find out why everybody is happy. I turn it over to the commish.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is a beautiful day. This is your commissioner speaking. It's time to recap the Silly Underdog Picks 2020, week number 8 of the competition. Let's first check our online contest, thegamenashville.com. Great stuff this week. Congratulations to Gordon Liske from Thompson Station. I hope I'm saying that right. Gordon Liske had a score of 32, so congrats to him. What were the most popular picks, you ask? Well, let me tell you. Northwestern, 35% of our audience had the Wildcats in their win at Iowa, 21-20. Northwestern is 2-0, so a big chunk got points on that one. Syracuse was another most popular pick. That was number 2 at 25% of the audience. They got beat by Wake Forest. A lot of people like the orange for some reason. And then 18% liked Arkansas in their game against Texas A&M. That didn't work out so well either. One of the most interesting ones, Michigan State's huge win over Michigan. 9% of our audience did have that. A little bit more than I would have thought, but one of our esteemed colleagues, of course, sent us the word that he selected. Of course, he is a Michigan State alum. So congrats to those who took the Spartans there. Now let's take a look at the insiders. It was quite the week. Chris Sanders, who came in with the record of the 77 Buccaneers at 0-14, and he selected Maryland, the defending champion. Chris Sanders, still looking for his first win going into week 8, he took Maryland for a second straight week after they had been beaten by Northwestern 43-3 the week before. They were a 20-point dog playing at home against Minnesota. And if you watched last Friday night, it was one of the more exciting games going. Maryland jumps out to a big lead, 21-7. Minnesota comes roaring back. It looks like it's over. Maryland, with Tua's little brother playing quarterback, comes storming back, forces the game to overtime, scores a touchdown. Minnesota scores with the second possession of overtime, and then misses the extra point. It wasn't even close. It's about as bad as I've seen a guy miss an extra point. So Chris Sanders picks up 20 points, and what was great was all of us were texting Chris on his way back from Montgomery Bell Academy's football game last week, giving him the updates of the game. So Maryland gets 20, and Chris Sanders is back in the race.
Why are you laughing at me?
I'm excited for you.
Congratulations, Chris.
I'm excited for you.
Thank
Congratulations.
You. I got some love here, man. after this week, I'm going to be leading, so I'm good. So I'm ready to roll, baby. I got my 20 in, and I'm coming to get Holcomb. You better watch out.
Are you going to pick UMass plus 45? Is that your pick?
Why are you messing up my pick? You can't tell the listeners that yet.
Tipping the picks.
Kelly, have you ever seen a guy miss an extra point that bad?
Bad.
Well, they were shaky all night. You look back on it, but I'm sure it went through your boy Flex, Coach Flex, head that hey, I might go for two right here. And then he's like, ah, surely he can make an extra point. And then he didn't. Good gracious, that was
oh,
awful.
Man.
He may be rowing his boat to a kicking camp this week.
Yeah, I was for you, Chris. I mean, good Lord.
I know. I appreciate it, though. You called me and you told me.
You've been so bad so far, so we were all for you, dude.
Wow.
The second pick went to Darren McFarland, and he took Rutgers, a 10.5-point dog coming off a big win against Michigan State. They were a 10.5-point dog at home against Indiana, who, of course, had that huge upset against Penn State. But Rutgers could not make it two in a row. Indiana wins 37-21, so Darren drops that contest. Chase McCabe also had UNLV as his pick, 14-point dog playing at home against Nevada. Nevada wins that one 37-19, so Darren and Chase fail to pick up any points this week on the college side.
Yeah.
Good try, buddy.
Yep. Mm. Not much going there. Good job. Not much happening. Darren, you picked Rutgers, so you get what you get there.
They had an exciting play. Had an exciting touchdown. bunch of laterals that turned into a touchdown.
Okay, all right. So looking great. At the positive.
Yeah.
Then Kelly Holcomb had once again an extremely impressive week to go with a very impressive season. He took Auburn, a 3-point dog against LSU, the CBS game Saturday afternoon, and it was a no contest. 48-11 is the final, and that doesn't even tell you how easily Auburn won the game. Auburn completely dismantled the Tigers, or the LSU Tigers, and so Kelly picks up three big ones there and then comes back with the Steelers, a 4-point dog against the Ravens.
Wow.
And the Steelers win and stay undefeated with the win in Baltimore. It came down to the last play, and of course the Ravens had turnover problems all day, and the Steelers took full advantage of that. So Kelly gets two wins and 7 points. Kelly, job well done.
Appreciate it, Commish. Commish, you had a good point the other night. We might need to make an amendment that you know, if you win by more than 15 points with an underdog, you need to like double your points.
I think that the rules committee might have an off-season powwow about that. If you guys want to go in on that, like if you,
No. That's
one of the most lopsided wins I've ever seen on underdog.
Hey, 48-11 this year. I've had two of them this year where somebody won by 26. I forget who it was, but I mean, let's go. Double your points.
I'm looking around. Everybody says no, so nope. We've spoken.
Okay, well, all right. Well, that could work in your favor. I'm just throwing it out there.
That's a no.
All right. Negative.
But, hey, great try.
Now, Chase McCabe came back. He did get on the board this week. He selected the Raiders, 2.5-point dogs in Cleveland against the Browns, and it was a game played in horrid weather. It was a reminder some Browns fans that I know were hearkening back to a game played in the early 80s where the Raiders, who eventually won the Super Bowl, beat a really good Brian Sipe, Sam Rutigliano Browns team in similar weather. Raiders win this one 16-6, and so Chase picks up 2.5. Nothing big, but he inches a little bit forward. Nice job, Chase.
Thank you very much. Chip away.
Darren had the Patriots, a 3.5-point dog in Buffalo against the Bills. Patriots driving late. Maybe a chance for the go-ahead, maybe the winning score, and Cam Newton fumbles the ball.
Fumble.
And the Patriots slip a little further into the hole. Bills get a big win, and Darren has to come up with the big goose egg for the week.
Yep. And half the roster not playing for the Patriots. So I felt really good about it.
Yep.
Not really.
Okay. Yep. And then Chris Sanders trying to go 2-0 in the week. He had the Bears, 4.5-point dogs in Chicago against the Saints. They get the game to overtime. Our good old friend Cairo Santos connects on the kick, and then it goes to OT. The Bears had a chance, but they could not pull it out. Saints win it 26-23. So, Chris, you've gone from the Buccaneers in 77 to the 1980 Saints, who were 1-15, but you do get 20 points. So you're back in this thing.
Hey, I'm ready to roll. I think the Bears are going to do something great this week, so I'm going to pick them again. So just give me a little update.
Ooh.
Wow.
Ooh, okay. A little sneak preview here. All right. So with that in mind, after 8 weeks of play, Kelly Holcomb, this is like an NFL season record here. Kelly is 10-6 with 54 points, setting the pace. Darren still in second, 5-11, but 37 points. Chase at 5-11 with 25, and Chris Sanders with 20. With his big win for the Terps.
What'd you say Kelly's number was?
He's 10-6 with 54 points.
Jeez.
Okay.
All right. So, when we come back, we will have work to do. Week number 9. Darren will have the first pick, followed by Chase, Kelly, and then Chris, and then we'll reverse it for the pro picks. Stay tuned. This is Silly Underdog Picks 2020, and you're listening to 102.5 The Game.
There's no need to fear. Underdog is here.
It is time to select the underdog picks for week number 9, and that is coming up right now. Just in case you missed it, the standings after 8 weeks, Kelly Holcomb, who won 2 years ago, looking for his second title in 3 years, 54 points. Chase McCabe in third place with 25, Darren in second with 37, and Chris Sanders just getting on the board with a huge win with 20 points to get back in the contest. Darren McFarland has the first pick in week number 9, so let's begin.
Indian Fever. It starts from the very first inning. Indian Fever. Each game is a brand new beginning. It's the hits, the homers, the double plays. It's how you feel when we win. So catch Indian Fever.
Be a believer in the Florida Gators.
Yes. Look, Kelly is going to take this game, and I'm just not going to let him do it because I know what he's going to do. He's just going to keep chipping away, chipping away, and I get it. Now the sticks are getting further and further apart, and now he wants me to be desperate. And I'm just going to keep handing the ball off. He wants me to throw. He's daring me to throw. But I'm not going to give him that game because I know he's going to take it, and it's just going to be 3.5 points for him, and he's just going to keep chipping away at his lead. So I'm going to take Florida, and I'll take the 3.5 and just keep working my way up to the top because Florida's going to win. It's a winner.
Good choice. Good choice, Darren.
And you were going to take it, weren't you?
I had it, dude.
Florida is a 3.5-point dog taking on Georgia. Now, this is an important thing. Is this game being played in Jacksonville or is this game being played
in Jacksonville?
It is Jacksonville. Despite the issues of 2020. Okay. So it is a neutral field. Florida, the 3.5-point dog. That brings us to Chase McCabe right now in third place with the second pick.
Time to play the game. Time to play the game.
Alrighty. Good pick, Darren. Wasn't going to work for me because I need points. So, I have decided that I am going to go to a conference that will be playing their first week.
Mm-hmm.
The Pac-12.
Ooh.
And I know where you're going.
And I'm going to take.
I know where you're going too.
I'm going to take a friend of the show.
Yep. That's look. Let me just tell you right now, before you go any further, that's the pick I would have taken. But I was like, no, I'm going to take the sure thing. But that's the game I would have taken if I was in your spot. Because once Kelly took my game, this is the game I was going to. I know where you're going. Go ahead.
I'm going to take Herm Edwards,
the Sun Devils. Yep.
Arizona State plus 10.5 against USC.
Mm-hmm. Arizona State is a 10.5-point dog on the road at number 20 USC out of the Pac-12. And it is an interesting to note, the last couple of weeks, the panel has gone into the Big Ten, which has definitely had a wild card factor to it. There have been some big dogs that have won. Maryland for Chris, Michigan State last week, Rutgers the week before, right? There's been some big underdogs that have won. So it's hard for Vegas, I guess, to know what they're getting from some of these teams. So interesting philosophy by Chase. So Arizona, 10.5 against USC. That brings us to Kelly Holcomb, the current leader.
We can skin a buck and run a trot line, and a country boy can survive. Country folks can survive. Country boy can survive. Country folks can survive.
I'll take Toledo.
I was going to say, how mad are you that the entire MAC conference played last night? How mad are you?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, that was a good pick. That was a good pick, Darren, because I had it down. That was a good pick.
By the way, that was redundant for me to say MAC conference. How mad are you is that the MAC played last night? So you were going to go Florida. You've admitted that, right?
Well, I mean, that was in my top two, yes. Yes, okay. I'm still contemplating. And there's another Pac-12 game that I thought that Chase might take too. But since you took the Florida game, I'm just trying to hit singles. Y'all got to come get me. And this kid is a really good quarterback, and surely they can't go undefeated the whole year. I'm going to take the Broncos of Boise State to beat BYU.
Hmm. That's Friday night. That's tomorrow night, right?
It is. Boise State on the blue field, ranked number 21. They're only 2-0. So it's only their third game of the year. They are taking on number 9 BYU, undefeated at 7-0. So a pair of ranked teams on a Friday night. So this will definitely keep us occupied. We'll be keeping an eye on this. It's an 8:45 start on FS1. So the Broncos, a 3-point dog. Interesting pick, Kelly. All right, let's go to Chris Sanders, who has not one, but two picks.
Well, we're moving on now.
Yeah! You know I got to call him changes.
George Jefferson will be making this week's pick.
Hey, I'm moving on up, baby. All I needed was my first win, and here we go. Hey, Kelly, I'm coming to get you. You already know that. Y'all already know what my pick is. It is Syracuse, over Boston College.
Ooh, Syracuse was a very popular pick last week, as we just mentioned. Syracuse is a 14-point home dog against the 4-3 Boston College Eagles, who were right there. Had a chance with the ball, last possession, needed to drive the field against Clemson, couldn't get it done. They had a big lead at the half. This week they go to Syracuse at 1-6. Intriguing pick.
I don't hate that. I kind of looked at it.
It's a good, yeah. That's interesting, man. I'm telling you, man, Syracuse, they're dying for a win, and this is a time where they're going to get it against Boston College. I think Boston College is mentally tired from what happened last week.
Could be.
Okay.
It's a good point.
All right, Chris, you go back-to-back here. We move to the NFL.
All right. All right, y'all going to laugh at me, so hold your giggles in right now. There's no laughing when I make this pick. Dallas over Pittsburgh.
Oh.
Really? Okay. Okay. Are y'all going to laugh at me like that?
All right.
That's a good one.
Good luck, Chris.
Good
okay.
one, man.
All right. I'm going to be laughing next week. I'm telling you got to go in the mind of a football player.
Chris.
Dallas has been getting crushed. They're getting laughed at. Everybody's saying Dak is washed up. They're going to come, and they're going to be Pittsburgh Steelers.
Okay, so for an extra point, I don't even think you know because you just said Dak. So for an extra point, who's the quarterback for the Cowboys?
The running back, man.
Who's the starting quarterback for the Cowboys for an extra point?
Some dude. I have no idea who he is.
We'll give you 15 points instead of 14 if you can name the starting quarterback for Dallas.
Rich Gannon.
He might do better.
Then give him 14. That's all
I have no
14.
Idea. I know some dude. I'm telling you, you got to go through the minds of a football team. I'm telling you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. The Cowboys are a 14-point home dog against the undefeated Pittsburgh Steelers. In a rematch of a couple of Super Bowls from the past.
Will he tell him who his quarterback he's depending on this week?
Well, the quarterback for the Cowboys was picked up off the practice squad. And he has a name.
So you don't even know either. It's Cooper Rush.
Cooper Rush.
Cooper Rush.
Mr. D'Annunzio has been benched.
That's a good pick, Chris. Honestly, all the laughing, that was a really good pick.
Okay.
Cooper Rush.
Cooper Rush. All right, that brings us to Kelly Holcomb. Kelly Holcomb will be selecting with the second pick in the pros.
Gosh, I got some choices here. You know what? Forget it. I'm going to go with one of my former teams. They're a home dog, I'm going to say go Bills. They beat the Seahawks.
Oh.
Big game. The Buffalo Bills at 6-2 are a three-point home dog against the 6-1 Seahawks. And that game is at noon on Sunday. That's an interesting one. AFC versus NFC. And the Bills coming off of a game where they just did get by against the Patriots team, though, that they had not beaten very often over the last 10 years. So now Russell Wilson and company come in. That brings us to Chase McCabe with his pick.
Can't believe I'm doing what I'm about to do. It's not as silly as Chris's pick, but it might be silly. Monday Night Football.
Oh, come on, man.
Jets.
You are
no over.
Come on.
Plus 7.5 against the awful, awful Patriots.
Why? Come on. Why?
I'm hanging up.
J-E-T-S. Jets, Jets, Jets.
Yeah. No, you won't be doing that Monday.
The New York Jets at 0-8 are a 7.5-point dog taking on the 2-5 Patriots on Monday Night Football. Wow. Wow.
I get a wow.
The Jets, boy, they just got absolutely shredded.
Blasted. Oh, my God.
Because they're terrible. They are
terrible. That's awful.
That's a game right there. They may cancel due to lack of interest. Everybody's got COVID.
Oh, my gosh.
All right, that brings us to the final pick, Darren McFarlane.
No, this team had a really, really nice comeback on Sunday, albeit against the Chargers. Everybody comes back against the Chargers. But let's be honest, their next opponent, everybody comes back on them too. I tell you what, I like this Denver team. They got a little moxie to them. I think they're going to build off last week's win. Drew Lock looked pretty comfortable. By the way, they scored on the final play of the game to beat L.A. They go to Atlanta. I'll take Denver.
The Broncos are a 4-point dog on the road against the Falcons. If the Broncos win, they will be 4-4 on the season.
Wow.
Hard to imagine that that was going to be the case with all the injuries they've had. All right. Let us recap the week. Week number 9, let's start in the college front. Fight song playing. Darren McFarlane goes to Jacksonville. On the neutral field, a game with huge implications for the college football playoff and, of course, the SEC title. The Florida Gators, a 3.5-point dog, taking on the Dogs of Georgia. The Bulldogs coming in with Stetson Bennett at quarterback. All right, Chase McCabe, the second pick, goes out to the opening week in the Pac-12 and selects friend of the show, Herm Edwards, and the Arizona State Sun Devils, 10.5-point dogs, traveling to USC to take on the Trojans. Kelly Holcomb, big lead in the competition, playing it smart, trying to add to the lead with Boise State, playing at home on the blue field, 2-0, ranked 21st. They host the 7-0 BYU Cougars, ranked 9th in the country, on a Friday night showdown. Chris Sanders, coming off the big win, he's playing to his strength again, going deep with both of his picks. On the college front, he takes Syracuse, only one win on the year. 14-point dogs playing at home in the Carrier Dome against Boston College. And then he goes to the pros and selects, shockingly, the Dallas Cowboys. With Cooper Rush off the practice squad, inserted in as the starting quarterback, a 14-point home dog against the undefeated Pittsburgh Steelers. Stunning. Absolutely stunning. Kelly Holcomb, with his pick, selects the Buffalo Bills, leaders in the AFC East, 3-point home dogs against the 6-1 Seattle Seahawks. Chase McCabe, another shocking pick, goes with the winless Jets, 0-8, 7.5-point home dogs Monday night against the New England Patriots. And then finally, Darren McFarlane takes the scrappy Denver Broncos, a 4-point dog playing on the road against the Atlanta Falcons, who have been a little bit better of late, but that should be a fun game. Remember, you can make the picks along with us. You make 3 by going to our website, thegamenashville.com. Makes the games fun, win a weekly prize, and then join us every Thursday at noon to recap everything.
Those are our picks for week number 9. Gentlemen, good luck.
You know your problem. You know your game stinks when the commissioner says your pick stinks.
He says,
like,
wow.
Willie never bashes it, but he literally has been laughing for 5 minutes at the Cowboys pick.
Okay.
I would love to. Right. This would be so awesome, Chris, though, if you win it.
Okay. Chris, I simply hope one of us wins so we can play that back, whether it's you or me next week, just so we can rub this in their faces.
There's never been two more throwaway picks than those two picks right there.
Okay. All right.
I would have rather picked the Jets than the Cowboys.
Yeah, me too.
Oh, my God.
Well, I leave you all. I leave you all with.
I'm gonna get it over with. I'm gonna say Toledo beats Bowling Green tonight.
Hold on a second. Hold on. And he's done something illegal.
Wow. We're bringing this up.
A clip from the past.
I'm out of here, dude. I'm done with y'all.
Took an old skeleton from the closet there, did we?
We were at Bridgestone Arena that day. I'll never forget it.
I just saw that. Now, hold on. Now, he's done something illegal.
For people that have no idea what we're talking about, Kelly once picked an underdog who had already started a game and had a 14-point lead.
It was close to halftime.
Yeah.
It was close to halftime.
We threw the flag.
Oh, good stuff. All right, guys. Thank you as always.
I appreciate it.
Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, guys.
Former quarterback Kelly Holcomb, who I think hung up. I think
he did.
Literally
he
hung
did.
Up.
He walked off. He said
and
no.
Forever Titans wide receiver Chris Sanders. Good stuff as always. Remember, you can play along with us, as the commish just said. We want you to play along with us. There's weekly prizes, so join us. We'll come back. More of Darren Donick and Chase on the other side. ESPN 102.5 The Game. NFL game of the week this Sunday will be indeed the Steelers and the Cowboys.
All right.
The coverage will begin at 3 o'clock, kickoff at 3:25, and it'll be heard right here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, and that's brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue, out in Chase's neck of the woods, and Gary Force Acura. So, hey, according to Chris Sanders, it'll be a game you're going to want to tune in and listen to. It'll be a very good game. And in years past, it has been. This year, not so much. Not so much. I heard Robbie and Rex Road in their last hour of their program today, leading up to the start of our show, talking about Mitch Trubisky. Like, what would you say about his career? And really, they had a guy on from Chicago talking about the Bears and basically comparing Trubisky's career to Mariota's career, which I thought was pretty interesting. It got my attention because, obviously, two high draft picks, two guys that were supposed to change the franchises, and we already know how it's played out here. Second contract, there was no second contract here. Got a one-year deal with the Raiders, and it looks like all signs are pointing towards, you know, that'll be it for when the rookie deal is up. There won't be another contract in Chicago for Trubisky. Do you guys, how would you describe those two? Are they similar? Are they different? Who do you like more than the other? I just thought it was an interesting comparison. I haven't really thought about it, but both franchises really have gone through the same thing with two guys that they spent, a top three pick on, and they just never got the results that they've been looking for.
And there's plenty of teams on that list, of course, over the years. You know, I didn't hear the discussion this morning, but I did read in The Athletic some interesting notes on Trubisky, who, for people that maybe haven't seen this, Trubisky last week came into the game for one play and hurt his shoulder, so he's done. He can't play. Like, the discussion, a lot of people thought during the game they should go to Trubisky. Well, that's one of the reasons they didn't, so they don't have to prepare for Trubisky and Foles. anymore. And as you just said, guys, the writing's on the wall. He's not coming back to the Bears. In that article, this is interesting, that they think, well, I shouldn't say they, there's an analyst that thinks that he could be a very nice fit for the Titans as a backup. And so that's really kind of where Mariota is right now in his career. He's backing up and looking for another avenue for a fresh start, kind of like Ryan Tannehill. And so this analyst says with the way that the Titans run their offense, Trubisky actually could run that offense and it plays to his strengths, and he could be a nice fit as a backup to Tannehill. So I think it's a fair comparison between Mariota and Trubisky.
Both were the number two pick in the draft.
I think Trubisky had 1 year that is better than, in terms of how his team did, better than Mariota did. I think statistically, Mariota's best season is probably better statistically than Trubisky's best season, right? And honestly,
Trubisky had 24 TDs, 12 interceptions, threw for over 3,200 yards. And his team went 11-3, and he rushed for almost 500 yards, 421 to be exact.
Right. Mariota's second year, even though they missed the playoffs, remember he broke his leg at the end of this year.
By the way, that was Trubisky's second year that I just read off.
Yeah. So Mariota's, was that his second year? The first 9-7 team that missed when he broke his leg against Jacksonville, that was the year where he was almost perfect in the red zone. The numbers look pretty good for Mariota that year, but the team didn't do as well. So I think, you know, if you look at the best year for each guy, Trubisky at his best, you know, if it hadn't been for Cody Parkey's missed field goal, who knows? That team could have been one game from a Super Bowl.
Mariota threw two more touchdowns. He threw 26 and had, Trubisky had 14 or 12. 12 interceptions. Mariota had 9. So he threw 3 less interceptions and 2 more touchdowns and threw for 3,400 yards. So the records weren't the same for the team, but Mariota actually had a better season. He rushed for a little bit less than Trubisky, but overall, Mariota was just a slightly better quarterback. But Mariota's career record is below 500, correct?
Yeah. Trubisky, 26-18
is
a starter.
26-18.
Yeah, that's a pretty good record as a starter to bring. Although, you know, that was Vince Young's calling card, right? Look at my record as a starter. My stats aren't great, but my record's pretty good as a starter. He's going to get another job, right? It's just a matter of selecting the right place and seeing if it works.
Well, that was literally going to be something I was going to bring up if we didn't run out of time, because we were on that conversation, and I was going to bring up quarterbacks. So if record is who you are, then Tim Tebow was a good quarterback, and Vince Young was a really good quarterback, and Trubisky has been a really good quarterback because they have winning records. So why don't we view them as good quarterbacks if your record is what you are?
See, I I've always made that argument.
Because I don't subscribe to that, but if that's what we go off of as your record, then Tim Tebow would have been viewed as a really good quarterback, and Vince Young, and so would Trubisky. He's 26-8. There's nothing wrong with 26-18. Well, nobody views him as a good quarterback.
I can remember back in the day when Ryan and I did a show on Saturdays, we had a round and round and round argument over Vince Young and the record. And my whole thing was he wasn't good. He's not here because he wasn't good enough. I don't care what the record says. There were too many mistakes. There were too many things in between the years. And so that's why he's not here anymore. That's why I go back to the record doesn't tell the whole story. You have to look at the overall body of work, and it's not even just looking at their individual stats. You know, watch the games. The eye test is just as important. And, you know, to this, I think it's a good comparison between Mariota and Trubisky. If you're asking me to pick one, toss up. I'm not a fan of either player as the player.
One would you take as your, let's say, your backup right now? Because Trubisky's headed that direction. I mean, it looks like he's going to be a backup in this league. So, just like Mariota is now, who would you take as your backup?
I'd probably go Trubisky.
Why?
Lean towards Trubisky. I'm a little more concerned. I know they both have their injury issues, but I'm a little more concerned injury-wise with Mariota than I am Trubisky. So, I mean, they're that close together. but that would be why I'd lean that way.
I've watched Mariota so much more than I've watched Trubisky. It's hard for me to evaluate Trubisky, to be honest. But I think it's a great comparison of two guys that are in a new phase, or Trubisky will soon be in the new phase that Mariota's in right now. And I would encourage people to look at the article in The Athletic. Go to the Bears section if you subscribe and read up on the analysis here of Trubisky. Matt Bowen is the guy that runs, he's part of the ESPN NFL matchup show that runs like before you get up in the morning on Sunday, but it's a good show if you watch it. What would you guys think? Darren, you're always a huge subscriber of, you know, making the right investment in the backup quarterback. We still don't know if they'll ever need to call on Logan Woodside, but what would you think of Trubisky as the backup to Tannehill?
Well, I'll tell you why. So Chase's hesitation is the injuries, and it's hard to really argue that because Mariota was always hurt, or at least a lot. He did get hurt a lot. So he's definitely been hurt more than Trubisky. The problem that I've got with Trubisky is what we've heard from Matt Nagy and others about his work ethic and behind the scenes. And it felt like Matt Nagy has constantly challenged Trubisky, you know, to be the first one there and the last one to leave and to spend more time in the room and spend. Doesn't sound like, quite honestly, I mean, I'm just going to make the comparison because that was the knock on Vince Young. The Vince did not put in the work behind the scenes. And Trubisky, it doesn't sound like, is putting the work in behind the scenes. And it's no secret. You know, we've talked to Trent Dilfer, the quiet time. If you don't have the quiet time and you don't put the work in behind the scenes, all the greats do, all the good ones do, and the ones who don't, you're not going to survive in the NFL. You won't. You won't get away with it. You can get away with it in college, in high school, because you're just you can out-athlete people. Not in the NFL. If you don't put in the work, you won't last. And to me, I question whether Trubisky puts in the work. And if he's getting questioned, which rarely happens when a head coach challenges his starting quarterback to do more of that publicly, probably because he was at his wit's end because they had done it so much behind the scenes and it wasn't working. So maybe he thought he could shame him in publicly into doing the work behind the scenes. So with that being said, I'm not sure I would want him because it sounds to me like he's not a guy that's willing to work at his craft and be better. He just kind of wants to show up and do his thing, and that doesn't interest me.
So you'd rather have Logan Woodside?
Well, I'd rather have a better option, personally.
Which you know, I'm
just
think.
It's just interesting. I mean, like if he's your backup,
it's hard for me.
We'll
to
see
say,
what money you're investing too. If you're getting him for a song, the former third pick in the draft, so your expectation level is a lot lower going in. You're not relying on him that much, and maybe you bring out something better in him, and hopefully you don't need him that much.
Yeah, and if the guy is available, and the Titans are you know going to do what they should do and look for a backup quarterback, it would be Andy Dalton. Because he's on a one-year deal in Dallas, I'd still rather have him.
It's a good thought.
Backup quarterback, but you know who knows.
It's hard for anybody to say Logan Woodside just because it's the unknown.
It's a total.
Nobody knows. Nobody has a clue what he's about, other than the Titans behind the scenes. But whether he can cut it on Sundays, if they needed him for two games, how could anybody know that answer?
No, you don't know.
I mean, wouldn't you always go with what you know over what you don't know?
If in this article, and I won't read the whole thing, but Bowen, it's also a good window into how the Titans offense runs, right through Derrick Henry, of course, the play action. But he talks about scripted shots. It's more defined reads, which he thinks Trubisky does a much better job, whereas Nagy's offense is much more read during the play. It's a different type of read, and Trubisky has not excelled in that area. So, I don't know. That's part of the equation is the fit. That's always a tough thing when you're bringing somebody from the outside. How is he going to fit in your system? But something to look for. But it's interesting, in 24 hours, this guy has gone from, will he get another shot as the starter, to he's injured, he probably will never play again from the Bears. And on a side note, do you know who the Bears' backup quarterback would be if Trubisky is indeed done?
I think it's Tyler Bray.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Tyler Bray, who is still in the NFL.
Hanging around.
And never plays.
No, no. Well,
has he ever gotten played? Game?
That's a good question.
I don't think so. I think the answer is no.
You got it, Willie? Are you looking up?
I'm looking it up right now. Tyler Bray has been in the league since 2014 and has played in one game.
One?
For Kansas City. 0-for-1 in mop-up duty.
In 2017.
Oh, so he took one pass. So he came in with like 2 minutes to go in the game. Okay. But he's never started a game. He's never played really. Okay.
No.
So he's
played
drive.
In one game.
Well, not
he's
even
thrown
a drive.
One pass.
Okay.
2017.
That's amazing. And since how long?
He entered the league in 2014.
6 years he's thrown one pass and still gets NFL checks. It's a great gig, man, if you can.
Not bad.
If you can get it.
Not bad.
But is there anything out there saying signs are pointing toward Trubisky being done for the year?
Yes, in The Athletic. Now, he had surgery on his non-throwing shoulder earlier this year, in January. And just The Athletic says that could be Trubisky's last snap with the Bears. He injured his right shoulder on the one run. The severity and next course of action is still being determined. So they haven't said definitively. This is just speculation. But he's hurt. It looks pretty certain that he's not going to play this weekend.
And another thing that's interesting is Matt Nagy was brought in to be, right? He was supposed to be the offensive mind. He was supposed to, you know, I don't know if Trubisky was his guy or not.
I don't think he was.
I was going to say, it doesn't sound like he was, considering the comments that he's made.
The fact that they brought in Foles tells you something, right?
Was that John Fox when Trubisky was drafted?
Well, Trubisky was drafted in, 17? How many years has Nagy been there?
I think this is year
three. Right? So maybe he came in 2018. So, yeah, I guess maybe that was the last year of Fox.
It was, yeah, because John Fox was there 15 to 17. So he would have gotten
there
the last year.
He's not Matt. I guess that answers that. He's just not his guy.
Right.
But, you know, you heard so much about Matt Nagy and what he can do with offenses, and the Bears really offensively, you know, that's not what they're known for since Matt Nagy's been the coach.
No.
It's really been about their play on defense.
Definitely. And sometimes you see that, right? A guy is brought in, hey, we've got the good defense. We need to fix the offense. You're the guy that can fix our offense. But you do have to have some personnel. You know, in light of last week's matchup, where a lot of the week we were talking about how bad the Bengals' offensive line was, and this could be an opportunity for the Titans to get well, and of course we know the story, they didn't. They didn't come close to it. It's the same story this week. The Bears' offensive line is in tatters. They've been horrible the whole year. They've had more injuries on top of it. So it is exactly the same as the Bengals. So how does the Titans defense respond? It's going to be another major part of the story. Now, they don't have Joe Burrow, right? Foles doesn't appear to be a guy that could burn you as bad as Burrow did, but we'll see. But the Bears do have a much better defense than the Bengals.
Yeah, the offense is going to have to wake up for the Titans and do more than Derrick Henry, have more than just Derrick Henry, for sure. But I think they will. It's like, you know, we said
they have all year.
Sure, they have. And any time that Tannehill has had a bad game or a misstep or however you want to put it, he has bounced back since he's been with the Titans. So I feel confident in the Titans offense going up against that Bears defense.
I'm also hoping they have the ball more. I know the stat of time of possession that we talked about earlier this week can be viewed different ways. Some people put more importance than others. Some people think it's completely insignificant. I just think that there is some significance to that. where you have a great running game, you should have the ball more than the Titans have had, and it all goes back to the defense getting off the field. So this is an offense where the Titans defense ought to get a couple more stops, right?
Yep.
They shouldn't be on the field for 70-some-odd plays against this offense.
Well, I remember a conversation on last week of the Cincinnati makeshift offensive line that was just put together, duct taped together that week, and we said, hey,
you should
annihilate them. If you're not going to get a sack, and Joe Burrow's been sacked the most in the league, if you're not getting a sack on this offensive line and this quarterback, then I don't know when it's going to happen. Well, guess what?
The alarm's on. Yeah, the alarm is on.
And by the way, has anybody looked at Chicago's offensive line?
Did we not just talk about that?
Yeah. It's terrible. It's absolutely terrible. It's the same deal as Cincinnati. It's being put together with duct tape. I don't even know if it's duct tape. It's probably scotch tape. I mean, it's terrible. So this is 2 weeks in a row they're getting really bad offensive lines. So what's going to change? We'll see. Nothing changed last week. Can that change this week?
Well, they had personnel changes this week, so we'll see what that does. But it goes back to our earlier conversation, and I'm with Darren. If they can't do it this week, they can't beat the Bears. Not who we thought they were. They're frauds.
It's just got to be a win, man. You got to beat the Bears. I know it's the NFL, but you're coming off two losses. You just lost to the Bengals, and it really wasn't even competitive. And you got to beat the Bears at home. You just do. And I know the Bears have been reeling, too. They're desperate. They need a win. But I just watched them last week against New Orleans. I think they're okay. I think their defense is really good. I think they're just okay. Like, Nick Foles is okay. He's not a starter. Nick Foles is a really, really good backup, which says a lot about Trubisky. Trubisky was 3-0, and they made the change, by the way. The Bears were 3-0 with Trubisky, and they made the change to Foles. I watch Foles. He makes dumb throws. He throws a lot of picks. And he's a really good backup. He's not an every-week starting quarterback in the league. It's just like Ryan Fitzpatrick. There are just some guys that are not meant to start week in and week out. They're better coming in spots. And I think Nick Foles is better at coming in spots. You got to beat this team. They've got a guy at quarterback that shouldn't be an every week starter, and you've got a makeshift offensive line. So, in other words, you are facing an excellent defense.
That's the difference. You make a good point, Darren, that Foles, on his best day, is a good quarterback, but Burrow is a very talented quarterback that has an array of good targets. You have to give him that, and he was red hot against a Titans team that didn't get it done defensively. So the defense might well play better, absolutely should play better. They can't play much worse than they did. But the Bengals' defense was awful, and the Titans' offense put up a lot of good numbers, even though they weren't quite as sharp as they've been. It'll be tougher to put those numbers up against the Bears' defense because the Bears do have a legit defense. They gave the Saints a lot of trouble, and the Saints, we know, have an excellent offense. So it's a little different formula this week, even though it is such a deja vu when you look at the offensive line that they're going against.
The Texans have announced they are shutting down their facility today after a player tested positive for COVID-19. We'll come back. We'll learn a little bit more about the Vols opponent. We'll learn a little bit more about Arkansas. We'll go there to kick off the fourth and final hour here on Darren, Donick, and Chase. But first, a word from Chase.
Yes, BetMGM, I've been telling you about them. The Maction that was in play last night had a lot of different prop bets on that, or just the line if you want to do that. So they have that available for you. That's why you need to check out BetMGM Sports. They are the king of sportsbooks. So right now, if you're a new customer, if you haven't jumped in yet, listen up to this because I have an offer for you. All you have to do to win $100 in free bets is you have to place $1, a money line wager, tonight, Green Bay or San Francisco, and if either team scores a touchdown, you'll win. All you have to do is use the bonus code 1025GAME100 when you make your first bet to take advantage. If you're ready to start betting with confidence like I have, then You got to turn some big plays into paydays by going to BetMGM. Sign up today and discover BetMGM's innovative parlay selection tools, boosted odds specials, daily promotions, and much more. Download the app or go to BetMGM.com. Use the bonus code 1025GAME100, and you can win $100 in free bets when you wager $1 on Green Bay or San Francisco to score a touchdown. It's always showtime at BetMGM Sports. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years or older. Must be present in Tennessee. For gambling problem support, call the Tennessee Red Line at 800-889-9789.